Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you know someone who is totally hung up on the past? Maybe you know somebody who is so fond of their college days or their high school days or maybe even their grade school days that they're just constantly bringing up stories of that time period in their life. Or maybe it's a sports fan who is just constantly reliving the glory days of a championship year in the past, always talking about those players at that time and comparing them to the players in the present day. We all have memories of good times that we've had with good people, friends and family and loved ones in the past. And the past has an impact on how we are today. The past affects the way that we look at things, the way that we act, and even the way that we treat other people around us in our lives. Well, in our sermon text today from 2 Thessalonians, we see that the Apostle Paul begins this portion of his letter to those Christians with a note of thankfulness to God for the past. But he doesn't linger on it as the only important period of time, as if only the past times are good and everything going forward is all downhill from there. No, he points those Christians in Thessalonica and us today to thankfulness for the past so that we may be encouraged for the future. God's work on our behalf does just that. It works an attitude of thanksgiving in us, as well as opening our eyes to what God has prepared for us in the future. In verse 13 of chapter 2 in our reading, we see that there's a unique motivation for Paul's thankfulness. He says, "We are always obligated to thank God for you, brothers." Paul is implying here that we owe God thanks because of the fellow believers in Jesus there in Thessalonica. And Paul explains why that is the case. It's because God is the one who worked in their lives so that they became brothers and sisters through faith in Jesus as their Savior. He writes also in verse 13, "They are loved by the Lord. God's actions for them demonstrate his love for them. God sent the Apostle Paul to them as a missionary of the gospel from the other side of the Mediterranean Sea to bring them this good news about God's love for them. But that was only the tip of the iceberg. Paul continues in verse 13, "God chose you from the beginning for salvation by the sanctifying work of the Spirit." God doesn't just work on the spur of the moment from second to second or minute to minute. No, his plan for us has been in place since even before time began, even before he began to create the world and the universe. Even before time itself had begun, God already foreknew those Christians in Thessalonica, and he had already made a plan in all of its detail to bring the saving gospel message of Jesus to them. We have here the same thoughts that the Apostle Paul also wrote to Christians in the Greek city of Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul wrote, "God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world so that we would be holy and blameless in his sight." God has not chosen us in a vacuum, but he chose us through his own dear Son. He chose us in Christ, Paul writes. The plan of God is to save all humanity. God worked out that plan through his own Son. Only Jesus, the eternal Son of God, could atone for the sins of the whole world by his death on the cross of Calvary. Only Jesus could conquer death by rising again from the dead on the third day. God would not just talk about his love for us and tell us again and again about his love, but rather he would show his love for us through concrete actions played out in history, through the death and resurrection of his own Son. God would choose us in Christ to be his saved people, He would send His Holy Spirit to sanctify us. He would work in our hearts through His Word so that we would have the full confidence that in Jesus we are chosen by God. In Jesus we are saved from sin and death. And in Christ we are declared right in God's sight, righteous and holy, sanctified for new life through His Holy Spirit. God Himself even took the steps so that those gifts could come to us. We could not receive such gifts without His work in us. Think about it as you memorized, perhaps in your youth and confirmation class, from the Small Catechism, Martin Luther's explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. He wrote, "I cannot by my own thinking or choosing believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel." That same thought is here in our sermon text in verse 14, where Paul writes, "He also called you through the gospel, and He called us to faith in the truth." God, the Holy Spirit, works faith in Jesus as our Savior. He worked that in the hearts of the Christians in Thessalonica. That faith lived within them by the working of the Holy Spirit in their heart through the good news about Jesus, their Savior. God showed His love for them by planning before the creation of the world to save them. And He carried out that plan by sending His own Son to die for them on the cross, to pay for their sins, and to rescue them from the consequence of sin, which is death. And then by sending the Holy Spirit into their hearts through the gospel message that the Apostle Paul brought to them. First, as Paul says in spoken word when he was with them and sharing the gospel with them verbally as they met together, and then now also in the letters that he wrote to them, so that, as we read in verse 14, they would obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other source of glory for us. All earthly glory, all fame and prestige, all of that fades away. All human achievement is eventually forgotten. But the glory of Christ reigns forever. And we will reign with Him in glory forever in His heavenly kingdom. That is our reason for thanksgiving. That's the reason for the Apostle Paul's thanksgiving. That is what God did for those Christians in Thessalonica, and that is what God has done and is doing for you and for me. You are loved by God. You are chosen by God. You are forgiven by God through Jesus, your Savior. And you are now acceptable to God through Jesus' atoning sacrifice on the cross for you. God says that you are sanctified. You are a saint. The Holy Spirit has worked faith in Jesus as Savior in your heart. And so now in God's sight, you are holy and righteous because Jesus has taken away all of your sins. You are a member of God's own family, His dearly loved son or daughter. That is no less true for us today than it was for those Christians in Thessalonica to whom Paul was writing. The Apostle Paul gives thanks to God for what God worked in their hearts when Paul preached the gospel to them. He gives thanks to God for God calling them to be His people, for saving them from sin and death through faith in Jesus. And so we also join in thanking God with unending praise for His work on our behalf through Jesus. We thank God for calling us through the gospel to faith in Jesus as our Savior. This work of God in the past and the present in our lives makes it possible for us to have a new future, different from the past of our lives that was controlled by the sinful nature. For God's people, the future is always positive. There is always new hope and new life as Jesus works in our hearts through His Holy Spirit. Sometimes as we face the very real challenges and difficulties of this world and of our lives, we might have difficulty seeing that hope and that positive future that God has prepared for us. Our faith is so often dependent on the past that it's not always translated effectively into the here and now. But God doesn't want us, our faith, to always be constantly looking backward. Rather, as we see Paul encouraging the Christians in Thessalonica, he wants them to look to the future. And he wants the same for us as well. When our faith is only focused on the past and never put into practice today, it is a fruitless faith. When our faith looks only to Christ on the cross and then to the future, to the day of our death when God takes us to heaven, then we miss living for Christ here and now in the present day. We miss life with God today and all the blessings that He gives to us right now. And so the words of the Apostle Paul here to the Thessalonians don't dwell on the past. They give thanks for the past. They realize that what God has done before the creation of the world and again on the cross of Calvary where Jesus died has an impact on our lives today. Those words of God and His blessings of the past make a difference in our lives today. And so Paul encourages us to get on with our lives right now, to live in the blessings that God has given to us in the past through Jesus and the gifts that He continues to give us this very day. In verse 15 of our reading, the Apostle Paul encourages us to hold on to the teachings that were passed along to you, either by word of mouth or by a letter from us. That instruction to hold on calls for us to have a firm grip on the gospel message. The gospel, the good news about Jesus our Savior, is the nourishment that we need to remind us of God's love for us through Jesus and to keep our faith growing strong, rooted in that good news of God's love and forgiveness. We have God's promise that His word will sustain us until the end of time when Jesus returns or until God calls each of us individually out of this life. God's word is the means by which our faith blossoms now through our words and our deeds as we interact with the people around us in our lives. Without the gospel, our faith will gradually diminish and eventually, ultimately, that spark of faith in our hearts will ultimately go out. But with the gospel, our faith is rekindled constantly and grows until the flames of faith spill out naturally. The joy of God's love and forgiveness naturally flows from our hearts in words of love and encouragement, in sharing the gospel words with other people, and in works that care for and serve others and bring glory to God. We hold on to Jesus and the gospel message that He shares with us through the words of the apostles and prophets in the Old and New Testament. That keeps our faith kindled, alive, and growing. It's an encouragement to all of us to make regular use of God's Word, whether it's hearing and learning it here in our worship services, studying it and discussing it together in our Bible classes, discussing it together and meditating on it at home and in family devotions or in personal devotions. God's word of forgiveness, His word of new life and salvation, encourages us to live for Him in faith. And in verse 17, the Apostle Paul also encourages us to live in every good work and word. We need the strength of God in order to be His witnesses, as He calls us to be, to live as His people in the midst of a sinful world that by and large opposes Him and His will. It's not an easy task by any means, but Jesus, who has won the victory already by His death and resurrection, He has already conquered every enemy that would oppose us in the mission that He has given to us. He is living in our hearts with His victory, with His might, with His power over the devil and over the sinful world and over the sinful nature that lives within us. Jesus has won the victory, and He gives us that victory to enable us to live for Him each day as He calls us to. Faith is living and active in our hearts by the power of His Word, bearing much fruit in words and actions that follow God's will and His commands, that glorify Him, that glorify Jesus our Savior. and that are a witness to his love and salvation to people around us in the world. Then we come to the last verses of our text in the beginning of chapter 3, which exhort us to a life of prayer. Chapter 3, verse 1, we see the prayer of the Apostle Paul, that the word of the Lord may spread quickly and be glorified, just as it was among you. And so we see that God encourages us to pray that the gospel message will go forth in the world and will work the same faith, the same salvation, the same actions and works that God's gospel has worked in our own hearts and minds and lives. We want many more people to know the joy and the peace of the forgiveness of their sins that Jesus has won for them, and the kind of life that awaits them through faith in Jesus. And so we pray for ourselves and for all those who are sharing this good news, that they would be under the protecting hand of God and would be bold and confident to speak the message of God's love with great boldness and zeal. And finally, Paul encourages us with the faithfulness of God in verse 3. He said, "The Lord is faithful. He will establish you and protect you from the evil one." And so we thank our faithful God for his unending gifts to us, for his plan, even before he began to create the world, his plan to save us through hearing the good news about Jesus our Savior, his plan that he fulfilled by sending his Son to die on the cross and to rise from the dead, to conquer sin and death and hell and the power of the devil, by sending the Holy Spirit into our hearts, both to create faith in Jesus in our hearts and to bring forth a new life, living for God every moment of every day. And God continues to be faithful to us. He continues to protect us from the devil because of the victory that Jesus has won. He will protect us from the evil one, from the devil, until he brings us safely to be with him in heaven. God has been faithful since before the creation of the world. He has been faithful to his promises. So we can be fully confident that his promises will achieve their ultimate goal as he has promised to us. He will never abandon us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And so we live each day in thankfulness for the past, for all that God has done for us through his Son, Jesus, our Savior, from even before he began to create the world. And likewise, the Apostle Paul encourages us for the future, for life right now and continuing for all eternity. Living with thankfulness and encouragement, we close with the prayer that Paul speaks in verse 5. May the Lord continue to direct your hearts to God's love and Christ's patient endurance. And so as we come to the close of another church year, and as we are reminded again that soon our Lord Jesus will return and will take us to be with him in the glory of heaven, we live with thankfulness in our hearts to God for his love and salvation. We live encouraged for the future. Amen.